Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you all stand for just a moment? Let's lift up our hands as we are in the mighty and glorious anointed presence of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we are absolutely grateful today and thankful, God, that you are visiting your people in such a special and miraculous way. Lord, we welcome anything and everything, Lord, that you have prepared for your children on this beautiful morning. Every good and perfect thing, Lord, that's coming from your heart and your hands from heaven, Lord. We receive it all, Lord, every word of instruction and direction. All the promptings of the Holy Ghost, every move of the Holy Ghost, every act of God, Lord, that you want to perform over your people. Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And if you really welcome the Lord, why don't you give him a round of glorious applause? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just taking a look around the room to see who's in the house of the Lord today. So good to have you. If you're a guest, a returning guest, or maybe we haven't seen you in a while, we want to give you a warm welcome. Can we clap our hands to the Lord one more time to everybody that's here? And we're believing that God is going to touch you in a mighty way. He already has through worship, of course. We know that God's presence is attracted to worshipers, and we've got some true worshipers in this house this morning. The Bible teaches us that if you're a worshiper and you know how to get a hold of God, then you can expect great and mighty things to happen. And if you're a worshiper, would you lift up your hands one more time? If you're a true worshiper, would you lift up your hands one more time? Hallelujah! Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. If you can turn down these white lights just a little bit, that'd be great. Lord, we're thanking you in advance for what you're going to do. And anything and everything that would attempt to interrupt or distract, move of the Holy Ghost today, we bind it, we break it, we tear it down, all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we release your anointing and your goodness and your mercy and your hand today over God's people and even those that are watching through YouTube right now, all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the church of the living God can shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Shout amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not about to allow anything to interrupt what God has in store for God's people. Don't you ever allow a bad morning to interrupt your blessing. Don't you ever allow a morning argument to interrupt your blessing. Don't you ever allow a flat tire, low on gas, or maybe you lost your keys to get you started on the wrong foot. When you step foot into the house of God, you got to check your spirit, check your attitude at the door, and you got to come with singleness of mind, singleness of heart. You've got to direct everything towards God, and everything will change. Everything will change. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we're so glad that you came to the house of the Lord this morning. We are celebrating, of course, Missions Sunday, and we'll talk to you about that in just a moment. Before you take your seats, we want to pray. We want to pray for some of you that know Sister Sonia from our Spanish congregation. Her father passed away, Brother Toby, and we want to pray for the family and those of you that are going to or willing to come to support the family for the funeral. Talk to Sister Darlene. She'll give you the dates and times. If you want to help out, you are more than welcome to help out as well. We also want to pray for Sister Margaret Aguilar, our senior pastor's wife and first lady, for her family because her mother has passed away. But here's what I want to tell you. Saints of God that pass away in the Lord, there is no more tears, there is no more crying, there is no more pain. They are leaping for joy in heaven. They are dancing for joy. They are in celebration mode. Those of us that are left behind for a time, we are in mourning, of course, and our condolences to the families, those that have passed away. But I'm telling you, there is a celebration in heaven for the saint of God that makes it their goal to make it to heaven in Jesus' mighty name. We want to pray. Hallelujah. I want to welcome all of you that are here today. My brother Avalar and wife and family that are here from Arizona. Such a beautiful leadership family that has blessed Arizona as they've led the MOPs for many years. I want to also thank the Lord for my brother Joel Baeza's in-laws that were here. Not sure if they're still here, the Serratos. I got to mention the Serratos. There's only like two of us in the entire assembly. And Brother Joel Valles' in-laws, they are Serratos that came down for a beautiful celebration yesterday of a baby that's on the way. Sister Becca Baeza and Brother Joel Baeza are having a baby, and they celebrated a baby shower yesterday. So we're thanking the Lord for a beautiful baby that's on the way. I'll call him Baby Serrato for just a little bit, brother, just a little bit, even though you're a Baeza. What a wonderful name. Lift up our hands and let's pray for those that are mourning, loss of a loved one, those that are maybe sick or maybe are on their last days, that the Lord would have a tremendous amount of mercy and consolation would go their way. Lord, we're praying, Lord, for Sister Sonia's family in our Spanish congregation, that you would console them, Lord, and that you would comfort their heart. But knowing that there's a celebration for Brother Toby happening in heaven, we're praying also for Sister Margaret Aguilar and family, Lord, that as they are also, Lord, needing consolation, to remember that there is a celebration in heaven also for our sister who's gone on in the Lord. We're praying, Lord, for everybody that's going through a trial, a struggle, a tribulation, through sickness or some kind of ailment. We're praying, Lord, right now that God, you would touch them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody can shout amen. Amen. Go ahead and take your seats for a moment. If you'd help me with this PowerPoint, I want to show you something. Hold up your pledge card for just a second. I'm not going to take too long on this, but I will tell you this. If there's ever a time where I am not ashamed to challenge God's people to give, it's right now. If you are a guest in the house or a visiting guest and you're not too acquainted with what we do in the kingdom of God when it comes to giving and finances and missions, then this is just something that you can watch and allow the Lord to just make this make sense for you. But for the saints of God, we're challenging you like never before. This is a pledge card, and I put two arrows up there, or one arrow in a circle. The arrow is where you are ask the Lord to lead you as to how much you can give this year. If you're going to give one amount for the year, then you put the amount where the red arrow is. If you can give a certain amount per month, then you put that amount per month and just circle the MO for month or the YR for year. On the right side, there's also a bit.ly link where you can type that into your search engine, and it'll take you to our giving site if you don't want to do the paper idea. Also, Brother Ernie, in the next few weeks, he's going to re-educate us on how our Tidely app works, because there you can give to global missions, you can give to our Nepal project, you can give to our Bangladesh project, our Waterwell project. But I just want to make sure that everybody understands how this card works. You can keep the pen, keep the flag, but return this card at the end of service. Also, there's been a little confusion on how this little envelope works for missions. In red, if you circle red, or if you put a number next to the missions word up on the envelope, that you're giving to global missions. That's all going to global missions. If you circle or you check off other and you want to give to something like Nepal or Bangladesh, then it'll specifically go there. So we just want to make it clear as to how you're going to give and where you can give, and we'll be promoting this more and more. I wanted to give that to you because we want to pray for the nations. Would you hold up the flag that was given to you on the way in? You might have Googled the flag already to see what it represents, because there are no names on these flags. But can you just hold up your flag for a minute? And if you didn't get one, ushers can pass one out to you. There are 195 nations in the world. 195 nations in the world. And they're all here. They're all here somewhere in the house. If you want to Google the flag, you can just describe it and it'll tell you what it is. But we have not reached all the nations yet. Somebody say yet. We haven't reached them yet, but God has called us to reach the nations. He's called us to reach the world. What you see on the ceilings are some of the places that we have an apostolic Pentecostal presence, both nationally and internationally. But there are a lot of these flags that you do not see on that ceiling yet. Somebody say yet. We are believing that God is giving us a global impact. God is going to use New Life Apostolic Church continuously until we reach all the nations of the world. Hold up your flags and let's pray for the nations before I begin to preach. Let's pray for the nations right now, Lord. Every flag that's being held up, all 195 nations of the world, whether they're Buddhist, Islamic, Hindu, or whatever other false religion is out there, Lord, that needs to hear the gospel. You love them just the same. You died for them on the cross as a man just the same. You gave your blood for the nations of the world. And we're asking you to use us like never before. As we hold up these flags, Lord, we are declaring an anointing to cover these nations and for there to be open doors like never before, and that resistance would fall down so that the gospel could reach every person and every nation of every tongue of every people group, all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And that's how we're going to say amen. Amen. Hold on to that flag. I'm going to ask you to pray for that nation for the rest of the year. And we're going to continually remind the church that that's what we've been called to. I want to read a scripture to you and jump right into what the Lord gave me for you on this beautiful morning. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, is a scripture that has a lot of relevance for us today. This ought to affect every human being on the face of the planet, and especially the children of God, especially those that want to make it. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day of Noah entered the ark and death. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 32 and 33, I'd like to read that to you. If one of the young men up here can bring me a chair, I'd appreciate it, and put it on this side. I forgot to bring a chair. If you can find one quickly, a light chair if you can. Luke 17, 32 and 33 says something very interesting. It says, remember the wife of Lot. And then it seems to change subjects and themes. In verse 33, all of a sudden it says, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses it will save it. There's a huge connection between Lot's wife and the desire to want to preserve your life. The title of my message is simply this: prepare for departure, getting ready for the rapture. Prepare for departure, getting ready for the rapture. Yes, I'm going to preach to you about the rapture. Yes, I'm going to preach to you about the signs of the times. Yes, I'm going to preach to you about how to get ready, get ready, get ready. Yes, I'm going to teach you or preach to you about preparing for takeoff, preparing for departure. Because that's what I sense of the Holy Ghost. That's what I sense of God. And so if I'm preaching a little hard, I'll try not to preach harsh, but I do want to preach truth, and I do want to preach preparation, and I do want to preach that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back soon. Because that's what I felt the Holy Ghost put in my soul and in my spirit to preach to the congregation on this beautiful morning. That's what I felt to preach to anybody listening to us through YouTube or live stream. And I pray that somehow that somebody decides to turn on this channel, this wavelength, to check in, because God wants to remind us that yes, he's coming back, and he's coming back really soon. Over the last 5 years, I have flown probably on over 125 planes. I have departed and landed on over 125 planes, and that's the last time I counted. There's something interesting that I almost got memorized. I've almost memorized exactly what the stewardess or the captain or the attendants tell you right before you take off. I'm going to read it to you. It says something like this: at this time, make sure your seats are back, your seats are straight, your tray tables are up in the upright position, and that your seat belts are correctly fastened. Also, your portable electronic devices must be set in airplane mode until the announcement is made upon arrival. Thank you. Flight attendants, cabin crew, please prepare for departure. got to thinking about that as I was preparing for this message on preparing for departure and getting ready for the rapture. And I got to thinking about all those plane rides that I've been in, and I've had to sit up, sit down, recline, set my tray table, get my drink, get my chips, get my little food. And all the times that I remember the person in front of me leaning all the way back, and they only give me a little tiny room, and I look like T-Rex trying to get my biscuit and my little drink and my little soda, and you're picking at it. But at the right time, the stewardess, the attendant, will come by anybody who's slouching back, and they'll say, "Sir, ma'am, you need to be on the upright position." They don't care if you're sleeping either. They'll tap on you. They'll wake you up. They'll tell you need to be in the upright position. And then they'll tell you all your little lunch, your little drink, your little soda, you need to toss that to the side, and you need to put your tray table up. And then they'll come around and they'll say, "You got your seatbelt on, sir?" They don't care. They know you can hide it with a blanket. I've tried it because I don't like seatbelts. And they just know, "Sir, you need to put your seatbelt on." And then one of the last things they tell you is they'll tell you, if you've got a mobile device, you need to turn it off or put it on airplane mode. It's an interference to take off. I got to thinking about how the church needs to be ready for takeoff and ready for departure. And you know, the upright position, the standing up, is a symbol of being ready. A soldier, you'll never find them slouching. You'll never find a soldier slouching with their rifle on the ground and bullets over here, a grenade back there. They're standing up. They're ready for attention. They're ready for anything that comes their way. They are prepared in upright position. They're sitting up straight. And the church of the living God, God is calling us to stand up, be straight, be ready. He's coming back. I got to thinking about that little tray table. And all the lunch and the waters and the drinks that they bring by, sometimes they're free and sometimes they're not. You fly international, they give you some free stuff. I've gotten a lot of free stuff for all those international flights that I've been on. But I can tell you that there's a time. They don't care if you're not done eating. They don't care if you're not quite done. They'll give you so much time, and then they'll come by with a trash can. And they'll say, "Sir, can I have that bottle? Can I have that little half-bitten sandwich, that little biscuit?" I got to thinking about what the Bible says in the book of Luke, where the Bible says that as in the days of Noah, the Son of Man is coming back. What were people doing in the days of Noah? The Bible says some were eating and drinking, and they were just being entertained. They lost track of their mission, the vision, the call of God on their life. You know why? Because their appetites for the world, their appetites for the things of the world, their desires were too strong. And in those days, people were eating and drinking. And I thought about what the stewardess tell you. It's time to put your tray tables up. It's time to get your eyes off of your human appetites. It's time for your spiritual senses to wake up. It's time for you to discern the end of times. It's time for you to discern that Jesus is coming back. It's time for you to see and hear with your spirit and be able to discern the signs of the time. Somebody say, "Jesus is coming back." Now I want you to say, "He's coming back soon." The signs are here. It's the signs of the end of times. I got to thinking about that mobile device that they tell you to put away. And a mobile device to me, at least in this time, is a sign or a symbol, could be, of entertainment and distraction. Got to thinking about how we are, if we're not careful, we can allow what our eyes see. We can allow the media and the propaganda. We can allow Hollywood and anything that shines, anything that's bright, anything that spells money, anything that's shiny, the silver and the gold of the world, the entertainment of the world. If you're not careful, it'll keep you from taking off. It can keep you from departing from this earth and making it into the glorious goal of making it to heaven. Heaven is supposed to be on our mind. Heaven is supposed to be on our heart. Heaven is supposed to be something we talk about consistently, but so is hell. Come on, somebody. I said, so is hell. Hell is real, just as real as heaven is. Heaven is real, just as real as hell is.
got to thinking about that seatbelt that they come by and they check and they want to make sure that you're fastened. You're fastened, you're ready, because turbulence may take place. The thrust of the engines may toss you around and throw you around. But if you got your seatbelt on, you're safe. If you got your seatbelt on, there's a good chance you're going to make it. You and I got to gird up ourselves with the belt of truth. You got to cinch that belt, which is the word of God. You got to be in God's word. That's what's going to keep you. That's what's going to hold you during turbulent times. That's what's going to fasten you so that when you're ready for takeoff, your election is sure. For anybody out there that says, but I don't know if you can really know if you're going to make it. I don't know if anybody really knows if they're going to make it. I can tell you I'm going to make it. I can tell you I'm going to make it. Because the Bible says to make your election sure, you can be sure that you're going to make it. You don't have to live in this idea that, am I going to make it? Am I not? Am I called? Am I not? Am I good enough? Am I not? If the blood of Jesus Christ was enough to save me and you, it's enough to save the whole world. The blood is enough to save the whole world. Prepare for departure. Get ready for the rapture. At this time, make sure your seats are upright. Make sure your tray tables are in their full upright position. Make sure your seatbelt is fastened. And if you've got a telephone, an electronic device that is distracting you from making it, put it to the side. Put it to the side. I am telling you today that I have seen and discerned like never before that the devil, his attempt is to deceive you, distract you, and disorient you. The devil's plot with the systems of the world that are working against your children, your marriage, and you as an individual are designed to deceive you, distract you, and disorient you. So you don't know if you're coming or going. You don't know if you're saved or not. You don't know where you ought to put your attention. You don't know where you ought to put all your chips in. You're not quite sure if you believe the truth or not any longer. You're not quite sure if Jesus is truly the only way. There must be another way. He can't be that cruel. He can't be that isolating. He can't be that authoritative. There's got to be another way. The devil will seek to deceive you, distract you, and disorient you. But for the children of the living God that are sitting upright, the children of God that got their tray tables up, the children of God that got their seat belts fastened, you can make your election sure. So sure that you can preach this gospel and convince the atheist. You can preach this gospel and convince the agnostic. You can preach this gospel and convince the Satanist. You can preach this gospel and convince the Muslim. Somebody does not believe what I'm saying in this house this morning. But if you're believing that this gospel is strong enough to convince the lost and the broken, why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? One of the signs of the times, sign number one, and I'm only going to share about five of them with you, and there's a lot more than this, but I'm going to share five of them with you for the sake of time. Sign number one that Jesus is coming back is the ignoring of the urgency of the rapture. Ignoring it, as in the days of Noah, people were ignoring the warnings. Noah and his family were warning year after year. Year after year, there's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. It's really gonna happen. I don't see the clouds. You're crazy. I don't see the signs. You're crazy. I don't see anything in nature, anything in the natural that's telling me that there's a flood coming. You don't have to see it in the natural. God wants to show it to you in the spiritual. God wants you to discern the signs of the times. Jesus is coming back. And ignoring the urgency is a sign. It's a sign. When was the last time you thought about the rapture? I asked my friendship groups that question this week. When was the last time you thought about going home? When was the last time you thought about the second coming of Jesus Christ? If you and I are ignoring it, how much more is the world ignoring it? If you and I haven't thought about it for a while, think about the last time that a lost person outside of God, when did they think about the urgency of the rapture? It's a sign, everybody. It's a sign, as in the days of Noah, the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, to remember Lot's wife. Why? Ask yourself the question, why should you remember Lot's wife as a sign of the times? Here's why. Because you will remember that Lot's wife and Lot himself were commanded not to look back. He told them, you flee to the mountains. Destruction is about to take place behind you. And all of a sudden, Lot's wife did something very simple that cost her her life. She decided to look back. But that's harsh, Brother Victor. Why would that cost you your life for simply looking back? In the Hebrew, the word looked back doesn't just mean to casually look back. It doesn't just mean to look back by accident. It doesn't mean that somebody tapped you on the back or you saw something and you just out of quick knee reaction, you just kind of looked back. That's not what it means. When Lot's wife looked back, it means that she longed for the world. Her desire was still there for the earthly sins of the world. Her desires and appetites longed for where she was commanded to leave. And so it was not an innocent looking back. It wasn't just a grace of the shoulder. It was a longing. It was a longing. And that's why the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Why? Well, the scripture tells us this. It says right after that verse, whoever seeks to preserve his life, you're going to lose it. Whoever is willing to lose it is going to save it. Let me tell you what happened to Lot's wife. She preserved her life in the wrong place. If you're seeking to save your own life and figure it all out on your own, you're trying to preserve your life. It means you love the world more than you love heaven as your home. God's telling you to run for the mountains. You keep looking back. You keep looking back. It's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. Ignoring the urgency of the rapture. And the Bible says she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. She was calcified into an earthly mineral. She loved the earth so much she became a part of the earth. She loved the earth and the world so much she was actually converted into the earth. She was preserved into the earth. The Bible wants to preserve you, to get you ready to make it home, because Jesus is coming back. Do not ignore the urgency of the rapture. Do not ignore it. It's going to happen whether somebody wishes for it or not. It's going to happen whether somebody hopes for it or not. It's going to take place whether people try to fight it or not. Nobody's going to be able to stop this. Nobody's going to be able to resist this. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm not a preacher that likes to preach fear tactics. I don't like to preach fear into people just to try and manipulate them. But the fear of God should be real. The fear of God should be something real and tangible that you feel in the depths of your heart. And for anybody out there, you need the fear of God to convict you and convince you, then let the fear of God reach you right now. Let the fear of God touch you right now. Let the fear of God grip you right now. If you're on the brink and you're on the sidelines and you're kind of straddling the fence, may the fear of God get a hold of you today so that you make it on that day, so that you make it to heaven, so that the rapture of the church is something that you're a part of. There's the pillar of salt. She loved the world so much, she was preserved by it. You need to love God so much that you're preserved by Him. You need to love Jesus so much that you allow Him to preserve you and prepare you for takeoff. Let Jesus Christ prepare you for your departure. The book of Genesis chapter 19, verse 17, the Bible says, run for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere on the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. The book of Luke chapter 9, 61 says, I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back. Let me look back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, as you know, and he said, no one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back, no one who looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. He's not just talking about, but what about my family? I just want to reach them. I just want to spend time with them. That's not what he's talking about. This person was making excuses and using their family as an excuse. Can I tell you, on that last day, when all of us are going to stand before God and truth is going to be revealed from the very beginning of your time on earth to the very end, and there's no amount of excuses, you cannot say, but I just needed more time, but I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to let go of this anger, of this bitterness, of this hatred, of this sin, of this habit. I just wasn't ready. If you had just given me a little more time, God. And God's going to say, remember the preacher. Remember the Bible study. Remember the text. Remember the social media contact. I tried to get a hold of you. Remember the YouTube that I sent to you during COVID when you couldn't come to the house of God. I tried to get a hold of you. Your time's run out. There's no coming back. There's no other way. It's too late. And one of the benefits of having the Holy Ghost, everybody, and I pray that everybody here has the Holy Ghost, you got the Holy Ghost, or you're going to get it today. One of the benefits of the Holy Ghost is that it'll give you an appetite to go to heaven if you allow him. I said one of the benefits of having the Holy Ghost, and everybody around the world needs to get the Holy Ghost, because it will create, if you allow him, appetite. Romans 3:23 says, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. You ought to encourage everybody to get the Holy Ghost. I thank Brother Ron Fernandez for coming last week and helping people, helping them, directing them, allowing the Holy Spirit to move upon his life to pray for people to get the Holy Ghost. Because if you allow the Holy Ghost, he'll groan within you with an anticipation to want to see you in heaven. If you allow him to, if you allow him to. Hebrews chapter 10, 25 says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. When? Even more, as you see the day of the Lord coming near. We got to encourage each other. And believe it or not, it may not sound like it, but I'm encouraging you, my brother. I'm encouraging you, my sister. I'm smiling right now to let you know I'm encouraging you. I want you and I to make it to heaven, make it to the rapture, and bring thousands of people with us. That's what I'm doing. I'm encouraging. And I pray that you would encourage me. Sign number two, sign of the time, that the rapture is coming, that the second coming of the Lord is on the way. The Bible talks about an apostasy or false teaching. Matthew 24, 4 and 5 says, take heed that nobody deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. They'll come in sheep's clothing. They'll look nice, smell nice, feel nice. They'll cuddle up against you and whisper nice words and whisper sweet nothings and coddle you into believing a lie. There are people today teaching that hell doesn't exist. That is a devil in sheep's clothing. There are people today that are teaching that everybody's going to go to heaven no matter how you live, because God is a nice guy. God is not that cruel. How could anybody go to hell? That is a devil, a wolf in sheep's clothing. There are people that are teaching today that once you're saved, you will always be saved, and you can live like you want outside of God, outside of the will of God, make a mess out of the world, live treacherously, step on God's word, step on God's blood, step on his sacrifice, and once saved, always saved. As long as you raised your hand and you gave your life to God at one point in time, that you're gonna make it, that's a lie. That's a lie. You need to live in a way where God is reminding you it's time to sit upright. It's time to stand upright. It's time to fasten that seatbelt. I'm coming soon. And there are wolves like never before that are lying. They're deceiving. They're disorienting. They're disorienting God's people, teaching people that you can be saved once and then leave God, turn your back on God. And I'm telling you, that's not just happening with people that have left the building. You can leave God in the building. It's not just people that have left the church. It's people that have left their heart. Their heart is far from the church. Their heart is far from God. There are people that are saying, but what's wrong? What's wrong with world religions? They all teach some good. They all teach some good about your neighbor, about your community, about having a connection with a spiritual being. Why don't you just leave them alone? And some of you here today, you've thought that. And maybe you felt that, and you're watching through YouTube, and maybe somebody out there, you're upset about what I'm gonna say. You're upset about what I'm about to share with the kingdom of God. But I wanna challenge you, if this makes you upset, I will personally meet with you. I will personally hang out with you, and I will show you the love of God like no other God has ever shown it to you. I will show you that there's only been one that has given his life for you, and Islam has never produced one. Listen, Islam has never produced one sacrificial lamb. Islam, you will not find one person that has ever sacrificed themselves for anybody. You go to Judaism, they're lost right now. They do not believe that the Messiah has showed up. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We love and pray for Israel. Don't be upset with me. We love and pray for Israel. But don't you think for a minute that because Israel still believes in the Abrahamic law or the Mosaic law, or they believe in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they believe in the Old Testament prophets, that they're okay. No, they're not okay. They're in trouble too. I said they're in trouble too. And for the Buddhist, and yes, we've been around Islam, and we've been around Buddhism, and we've been around the Hinduism, so I know what I'm telling you. Number one, we love these people. We're gonna go after these people. To all the nations around the world, and the flags that they're holding today are probably representative of one of those other religions. But I'm gonna tell you that in Buddhism, there is not one person in all their history that you will find that gave their blood as a sacrifice. Never, you won't find it. You go to Hinduism, you won't find any of their gods that have ever, one time, ever in their history said that I am willing to give my life for you because I love you. What you will find, and listen carefully, what you will find in these world religions is that there is an expectation for you to sacrifice to them because they're greedy. They're self-absorbing. It's diabolic. And if that makes you upset, YouTube land, I'm challenging you by the love of God. Give me a chance to preach this to you, to teach this to you, to pray with you. And I'm believing that the anointing of God will fall on you and you will feel the love of God that will convict you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. People teaching that there's many roads that lead to heaven. People teaching that you can just choose one and hope for the best. Close your eyes, blindfold yourself, and throw a dart on the wall. And as long as you land on some spirituality, some form of spirituality, that can land you in hell, everybody. That can land you in the pits of hell. Jesus said, say it with me, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is no other way. Jesus said it. Jesus proved it. Jesus gave his life as a man on a cross to prove it, that he wasn't just talking. He wasn't just professing. He wasn't just prophesying. He wasn't just talking a big game. He proved it with his own blood. Tell me one other figure in history that has done that in the history of mankind. You won't find it. I said you won't find it. Jesus is the only one. Gotta teach people that Jesus wasn't just a good man. Because there's a lot of religions that'll say, oh, your Jesus was a good man. In fact, he was a good moral man. Oh, some will say he was a good prophet. He was a nice guy. He did good things, but he was no God. He was just another. He was just one of the many. And that is a lie. There is no other figure in history that said that they were God and proved it through the miraculous hand of God. And let me tell you why the Holy Ghost in this hour is so powerful. The Holy Spirit was given to you so that you would not be deceived. John 14, 26 says, the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will remind you. He'll remind you about this truth of the gospel. Anything that you commit to memory, anything from the Word of God you've committed to your heart, anytime you have spent time with the Word of God since the time that you were 5 years old to 90 years old, at the right moment, at the right time, when the devil comes and tries to deceive you, the Holy Spirit will quicken that Word inside of you to remind you of what He said that may be in complete contradiction to what the world is telling you. Sign number three. The Bible says that there will be a global preaching of the gospel. This gospel will reach the world. Matthew 24, 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. You know why we're praying for all the nations? You know why we're not just praying for the ones that are on the ceiling? You know why you're holding up that flag? Because we're praying for all the nations so that the end will come. Whether you know it or not, you were helping the end to come. When you lifted up that flag and you begin to pray for the gospel to reach that country, you were praying for the end to come. One of the signs that Jesus is coming back is when this gospel reaches all the nations. Don't be afraid. I want the Lord to come back soon. I want to be here for the rapture. I want to be caught up in the sky. I want to be violently ripped out of this earth to be in heaven with Almighty God. One of the signs is that this gospel must reach all the nations. And that's why I'm not ashamed. And that this is one time that I will ask for you to give and give and give some more. Because every penny, every dollar that you give is going to be used to reach somebody in a nation around the world that doesn't know the gospel. Do you understand what we're saying today? We need to reach the nations and then the end will come. Somebody right now is praying, Lord, don't send me to that country. Leave that one country reserved for a while. Leave that one without the gospel for a while. Reach all the 194 nations, but leave 195 alone until I've had kids, till I've gotten married, till I've had grandchildren, till I've seen my children graduate from college. Listen, my mother died before I got married, before I had kids, before I graduated, before I became a minister, before I got any kind of recognition on this earth. And I'm okay with it. You know why? Because one day I'm going to go home to heaven and we're going to have the biggest party and celebration that you can ever imagine. And my mother's going to be there because she made it. She made it. She made it. And I don't feel sad. And I don't feel lonely and depressed because he wasn't here to see all that. I wish he was. I wish things turned out differently, but they didn't. But I'm not sitting here depressed and angry with God. Instead, I'm excited. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to spread this message all over the world because I want to see thousands of people make it to heaven. The kingdom will be preached to the whole world, to all the nations. And then the end's gonna come. The end's gonna come. You have to know this by now. Pastor Joe certainly knows this. Bishop Provencio certainly knows this. Many others. You and I, in this church right here, we're a part of the global church, but yes, this church right here has been called specifically to reach the nations, and God wants to give the nations into our hands. Listen carefully. I sense this, I've sensed this for since Pastor Joe began to preach this years ago. God wants to give us the nations, and what he's waiting for is for you to be 100% in. He's waiting for you to be all in. Put all your chips in. Slide them across the table. And when you do that, God is going to give us the nations. He has already begun it. You've seen what he's doing in different countries around the world through your giving, through your prayers, through your fasting, through your intercessions, through your promotion. As soon as we are all in, God's going to hand us the nations. I guarantee it. I can sense it in my spirit. God wants to pour the nations into our hands. Can I tell you that for the last 100 prayers that I've made about Japan, almost 95% of the time, as I begin to mention Japan, I close my eyes, I hear the Holy Ghost saying, Japan is yours. Japan is yours. Japan is yours. And it's not even, we don't even got a church there. Listen, we don't even got a minister there. We don't even got a friendship group there. But if you're discerning in the Holy Ghost, if you pray, God will tell you, that's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's going to happen. It's as if it's already done. God is waiting for you to be all in. And then God is going to give us the nations. He's going to give us the nations. Last night in Bangladesh, we are renting a room for $30 a month for leaders to gather. And this was their first gathering, and it was Pentecost. If for them, last night, it was Pentecost. They are almost a half a day ahead of us. And when Pastor Doyal, who is the man in the blue shirt, had his microphone, his laptop that we gave him, and we zoomed in, and there was interruptions, technology problems. They were worshiping with a guitar. We couldn't hear them. He was my translator. Brother Ish and Brother Jarrell from Madeira, they joined me. We began to pray for them. We taught and preached and read a little bit, and we just said, you know what? It's time to pray that the Holy Ghost fall on somebody that needs the Holy Ghost. And even with all the interruptions, I want to tell you how powerful the Holy Ghost is. And even with all the tech problems, I want to tell you that there are no excuses when you allow the Holy Ghost to move. Because after a while, five of them began to speak in other tongues. With all the interruptions, they got baptized in the Spirit. A couple of them already had the Holy Ghost. And when I got off the line with Pastor Doyal, I said, brother, it's about 11 p.m., because that's about how late we stayed up last night. And I told him, you continue the fellowship and bring him to prayer again and pray for everybody else to get the Holy Ghost. Because this is for you, it's for your children, and for all those who are afar off. This global preaching of the gospel is going to happen, and then Jesus is going to come. I want you to know that what you're involved in, Pentecostalism. Pentecostalism is the fastest growing movement in the world right now. Pentecostalism, the move of the Holy Ghost, the impartation, the overflow, the people receiving the Holy Ghost. It's the fastest growing movement right now, but not for long. I want to create a little bit of an alert inside of you, an urgency. The Islamic religion is expected to grow by 70% between 2015 and 2060. They predicted in 2015, which was 8 years ago, that Islam, they're on our coattails. They're winning millions of people by the year. And it is being predicted at the pace that they're going, even though Pentecostalism is the fastest movement right now, they're on our coattails. And they're not afraid to go after anybody and everybody. And they're serious about their business. They are about their prophet's business. We ought to be about our Father's business. I'm going to say that again. They are so committed to the prophet Allah. They are so committed to Allah. They are about Allah's business. That ought to do something to you. You ought to be about your Father's business. You ought to be about your daddy's business. By 2060, it is estimated that they will be at 3 billion in number. That's almost half the world. That should alarm somebody. That should alarm somebody. It's not 2060 yet, everybody. It's 2023. It's 2023, and we can reach the world. We can reach every nation. We don't have to wait to 2060 for the Islamic faith to reach 3 billion people. I said, we don't got to wait. Never mind what's being predicted. Never mind what's on paper, what's on the statistics. Never mind what they're penciling on the wall. Last time I checked, we are the people of God. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. We've got something that nobody else has. I showed you those pictures for a reason. You don't got to wait to run into somebody. Instead of using social media for evil, how about we use it to spread the gospel? Instead of using social media for entertainment, how about we use it to reach the lost? You can get on your social media and you can say, can I pray for you? And expect the Holy Ghost to fall. You can get on your social media and say, can I pray for you right now? I know you're in Nebraska. I know you're in Utah. I know you're in Arkansas. I know you're in Russia. I know you're across the world. But can I pray for you? Because where the Holy Ghost is here, he's there right there too. He's here, he's there, and he is everywhere if you allow him to saturate you. God wants to use you to reach the world as a sign of the time. And then the end is going to come. Sign number four, an explosion of hatred towards the church is a sign of the time. I got a scripture for you. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. They will hate the Christian. They will hate the name of Jesus Christ. They will hate the followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that yes, this too is a sign, an explosion of hatred. And you need the Holy Ghost to give you courage in this hour. Do you know that one of the benefits of having the Holy Ghost is to give you power to be a witness in the face of danger, in the face of intimidation, in the face of resistance? The Holy Ghost will give you power to be his witness. The Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Does that sound like a sign of the time? Like never before, you better believe it. I'm surprised people aren't running around with a t-shirt that says that. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. What used to be bad by everybody's moral standard, at least in the Western world, is now questionable. It's now questionable. What used to be good, hey, that's hatred. You should be more tolerant. What do you mean there's only one way? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Preaching that marriage isn't the best idea anymore. That's the going culture. You know, marriage is too much trouble. Tying the knot, legally, it's just too much of a headache. How about we just put that to the side? It's not that good. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. There is a hatred for what we believe and what we stand for. Be careful. You have to be careful. I'm not going to be careful about this. The world will tell you to be careful. You sound judgmental. Judgmental, what do you mean? Marriage should be for everybody. Preaching that marriage should be between a man and a woman used to be the moral understanding of the fabric of our nation. And all of a sudden, if you preach that just a little too much, just a little too hard, you're considered hateful, intolerant, judgmental. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. There is going to be an explosion of hatred, and it's already here. Listen one more time. It's already here. It's a sign of the time. It's already here. Preaching that we should stay away and abstain from drugs and alcohol is now considered boring. That's not fun. Allowing teenagers to have parties with alcohol and drugs is a normal thing. It's a normal thing. You just let them. They're in the comfort of my home. They're in the comfort of my living room. At least they're in the safety of my backyard where I can supervise them. What used to be called evil is now good and good evil. Be careful. The world is telling you to be careful, not to judge them, not to be too harsh, not to preach this truth so clearly. Blur the lines just a little, enough to be friendly, enough not to create enemies. Preaching that Jesus is just one way to get to heaven. That's the going culture. Hey, Jesus is good for you, but let me have peace with mine, with my God. You don't judge me, I won't judge you. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You stay on your aisle, I'll stay on mine. Jesus said, go to all the nations, making disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That includes the atheist, the agnostic, the Satanist, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Islamic person, the Jew, it doesn't matter. If they are far from God outside of the sheepfold of heaven, they need to hear the message of this gospel. that we preach and we hold to. You've all heard about what's happening with Target. I'm not going to hate on anybody that's going to Target. I don't think it's here quite yet, but it's coming. In some states around the country, it's not a myth. It's not just a story. This is really happening. I want you to try and go into a Target when it's here, when they are promoting the gay pride children's clothing line and the satanic support behind it. I want you to go and complain and see what happens to you. I want you to go in and put a complaint and tell them how you feel about that and see how you are frowned upon. What used to be called evil is now good. What used to be called good is now evil. You will be hated for what you and I say we believe about God's design for man, for woman, for marriage, for children, for living, for experiencing life in its most natural form of enjoyment in God with the people of God. You will be hated as a sign of the times. I'm going to give you the most realistic hate experience that I became aware of 5 days ago. I've only told Brother Joel because he helps us teach our Bangladesh brothers and sisters every Monday, and I've told some of the friendship group members of my group about what just happened 5 days ago. 5 days ago, I got a call from Brother Doyal. If you can help me with this clicker here, it's not working. But if you can go to the next slide. There's this beautiful family in a village that's bordering India. This is in Bangladesh, and this is a Hindu family in a 99% Muslim community. They are already looked down upon. They are already considered the lowest class of people. But Brother Doyal, who you saw in blue earlier, has been preaching there for the last 6 months under our leadership, under New Life's direction. I want you to hear this carefully. Under New Life. This came from New Life. Because we've been helping him spread the gospel. We've been helping him spread the apostolic Pentecostal gospel and experience. For the last 6 months, he's been reaching families. And this is one of the families that he started to reach. He's giving them Bible studies. He can only go once a month because he's that busy. And there's not enough workers. And once a month is all it's been taking for this family's heart to turn towards Jesus. They are now confessing that Jesus Christ is the only way. They are waiting for us to go and baptize them. Pastor Joe, we have 70 people waiting to be baptized in Bangladesh right now as we speak. And we were supposed to go in the summer months, but we are going to see what we can do about them being baptized and not waiting. This is one of the families for 6 months. About 5 days ago, that little girl on the left, her name is Nisita. She's only 12 years old. She's the same age as my Lily, my daughter. So this hit close to home. This hit really close to home. Let me tell you how evil and how much hatred is exploding against the Christian who's professing that Jesus Christ is their God. Mom is not pictured here, but mom and dad were walking home. They took Nisita into the house. Then they left with the rest of the family to take care of some errands. When Nisita walked into her home, a little basic, little substandard house, she was in the kitchen somewhere, and 2 to 3 men broke in, walked into the back of the house. As she glanced over just to see some shadows of men, one of the men took oil, some kind of fluid, dumped it on her back. The man next to her had this torch that was lit, and he extended his hand and lit her on fire. These men, these cowards, left. And yes, they were all Islamic. I don't hate Islamics. I don't hate the Muslim. We love them. We love them and we pray for them. But it made me angry because I got a daughter like this. And that little girl started screaming and she ran for her life down the street. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. In a country full of Muslims that hate anybody that professes Jesus, nobody was willing to help until one lady, we don't know who she is, one lady ran out and helped put the fire out. But by then, the fire had reached all of her back, around her waist, and over her stomach. And I got the call that night, and they rushed her to the hospital. The first hospital that they rushed her to said, "We cannot help you. The burns that you have, we don't even know how to help you. We don't have the technology. We don't have the doctors. You need to go to the city." They got no money. They got no transportation. And Pastor Dayal, he started calling all of our friends and saying, can you give a dollar? Can you give 50 cents? Can you give something? He collected a little money as he was trying to get a hold of me. Because their nights are our days and our days are their nights. He had to scramble. And he got this little girl to the first hospital and they turned her away. Got her to the second hospital and they said, now you got to pay. Now you got to pay. We got no money. You can't stay. You're not going to get no pain medicine. You're not going to get no real treatment. And by then, I was able to send a little something to get them started. But that's not the worst of it. The worst of it is that this little girl, Nisita, for the last 7 days now, it's been about 7 days, every single day that they change her bandages, Pastor Dayal on the phone is telling me, I can barely stand it. And his voice is cracking. He says, this little girl is screaming as they're pulling the bandages off. And she's lost blood. He says, I gave all the blood that I could give to help her, but they're pulling off these bandages. And I said, did you make a police report? Knowing full well they weren't going to do it. Knowing full well it was too dangerous to put a police report because everybody in the police department, everybody in government, everybody in the health department, everybody on any kind of system is Muslim. They're not going to do anything. He says, Brother Victor, they're not going to make a report because nobody is going to do anything. I said, I want something on record, though. I've asked the hospital to document at least what happened on some kind of official paper so that someday if we need to stack some kind of argument and we can get some help and protection for our families, that we have something on paper. And they were willing to do that. And I said, how's mom doing? She says, mom is on her knees. And every doctor that walks through the door, she grabs and clutches their leg, begging them to help her daughter. I said, Brother Dayal, I know why they did this, but tell me with your own words, why did these men do this? He says, because we've been going to their home once a month to worship. And the Muslims that are there are very radical. And they did this to terrorize the Christian. They did this to threaten anybody in that region from attempting to try to create the church, to try to build the church, to try to bring in Christianity. One of the signs of the times, everybody, is that there will be an explosion of hatred towards the Christian. There will be hatred. And this is one of those moments of hatred that's evil and vile. But let me tell you this. This little girl right here, she's going to grow up to be a witness. Guess what? When we ask the mom and dad about how they're doing, they said, it's terrible. It's the most wicked thing we've ever experienced, but we are trusting in Jesus. We are still believing in Jesus. We are not gonna lose our faith. I don't know how many of you, she's gonna be in this hospital for 30 days. When they go back home, I don't know how many of you would go back home. I don't know how many of you would be willing to go back to the place where your daughter was tormented and tortured for the gospel. But they're going back home. They got nowhere to go, and all they have is Jesus. All they have is their faith. All they have is their trust in God. And they have your prayers. They have your prayers, my brothers and sisters. Extend your hands towards Nisita right now and ask the Holy Ghost to expedite. Ask the Lord to heal quickly. Ask the Lord to help her not have so much pain. And ask her to hold on to her faith and not be traumatized by this wicked act. Lord, we're praying for Nisita right now. The entire church is expressing their faith and their trust in you. Lord, we're collectively praying as the body of Christ for Nisita. Lord, do a miracle. Perform a miracle. Heal this little baby girl. Let her be a witness, Lord, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, you got to pray. You got to pray for the nations. You got to pray for the nations. You got to intercede for the hatred that is happening all over the world. Hallelujah. Listen. You think you got it bad by going into Target? You think you got it bad by going into schools that are changing all their moral fabric? You think you got it bad by experiencing some hatred here in the Western world? You haven't seen nothing yet. You haven't experienced nothing yet. So you ought to be bold, my brothers. You ought to be bold right now. You ought to be courageous right now, because this kind of hatred is coming. This kind of hatred is coming, and it's already here. I haven't even told you what happened to Pastor Doyal. I haven't even told you what happened to some of our other leaders. I haven't reminded you of what happened just a couple of years ago. This is not an isolated incident. This is happening right now. Hatred for the Christian is exploding all over the world. All over the world. And yes, I'm going to lose my shame right now and ask you to support this little girl. It's not to them, it's an insurmountable cost of $50 a night to stay in that hospital. It's nothing compared to us, but to them, that you might as well be $10 million. They're expecting for her to be there 30 days, 30 nights, and that's just for the stay. She needs a little medical help. I know you've got your faith pledge card for the nations, but if there are a handful of you that will take an extra card and on the back of it, you just write Nisita and you put down what you can give to help this little girl. We've already given her some. And again, this is an isolated incident. There's more. And if I were to tell you the others, it would overwhelm you. If I were to tell you about the others, it would overwhelm you. And that's why I believe that God is willing to give us the nations when you're all in. If you're not all in, we will not reach the nations. I am believing that we are going to start and we're going to have a prospering church right there on the border of India and Bangladesh in the midst of all the radical Islamic people. I am believing that. And yes, we are going to go there. Yes, we are going to go right there. Yes, we're going to show the world that we're all in. We're all in. I believe Nisita, when she turns a little older and she's 14, 15, 16, and she understands really what's going on, I believe she's going to be able to quote this scripture. It came to mind. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I'm confident that these believers are going to be able to quote that with all their heart. That I reckon that whatever happens, whatever comes my way, it's not worthy for me to bow down. It's not worthy for me to check out. It's not worthy. Why? Because the rapture is coming. The end of times is here. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. He can come right now. He can lift Nisita right up off that bed and take her home. We don't know. You know what we ought to do, New Life? We ought to be all in. You know what we ought to do? Is teach the devil a lesson. You know what we ought to do? Is go into the systems of the world and teach them who the real church is. Show them that we can prosper in the midst of trials and tribulations. Show them that we can rise up even if they terrorize and hate and lie and deceive. That's what we ought to do right there. That's how we ought to respond. We ought to preach like never before, give like never before. Yeah, I'm emphasizing that. Give like never before of your resources and finances. It is the greatest investment that you can make. Do you believe that? It's a better investment than you can give to any bank, any IRA, any kind of investment in some banking system, any kind of investment in education or in a system of the world. This is the best investment. It's going to help people get ready for the rapture. It's going to help people prepare for departure. Give of your time, of your finances. Give like never before of your gifts and your talents. Give of yourself. Go all in. There are still nations that have never had an apostolic Pentecostal message or experience. And this church is being groomed. We're being groomed, everybody, to rise above all the smoke and the mirrors and the lies and the deceit and the distortion of truth. We're supposed to rise above all that junk, rise above all that smoke, and give ourselves to the kingdom of God. At least as much as the Muslim is. At least as much as the Buddhist and the Hindu and the Jew. We ought to give ourselves at least, if not 100% more. Sign number 5, and I'm going to end it right here. Nations are going to rise up against nations. Praise team, if you could make your way up and help us out. Matthew 24, 6 and 7. Jesus warned his disciples that the end of the age would be marked by wars and rumors of wars with nations rising against nations. This is probably no surprise. This is not the first time you've heard this, I'm sure. And with the advent of the World Wide Web and technology, you can see the wars and rumors of wars in the clearest, most vivid way than human beings have ever been able to see it. Our country seems to be at peace for the most part. For now. Somebody say for now. Our country seems to be mostly at peace for now. But there is a growing international sense of instability as we speak. We could be on the brink of war tomorrow. It seems peaceful now. It seems quiet now. But in a moment, everything can and one day will change. There is so much tension right now and instability that one wrong word, one wrong phrase, one wrong push of the button, and it's war. You and I have not experienced war the way most countries have experienced war and terror. You might think, well, when it comes here, then we know it's the end of times. No, no, no. Wars and rumors of wars have been here. That is a sign that the end is here. It's here. You may or may not know this, so I'm going to share this statistic with you. It is reported that over 50% of all scientists, you know what their assignment is? Get this. 50% of all scientists are involved in military arms development. That is their job, to focus on warfare, on military, on designing weapons. And it is said right now that there is at least one weapon and 4,000 pounds of explosives for every man, woman, and child on the earth. There is enough explosives for every man, woman, and child on this earth. 4,000 pounds of explosives. Who needs that much? Who needs that kind of danger? Who needs that kind of imminent danger? I'll tell you who's doing that. I'll tell you who's behind that. The devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy. But it is a sign of the time. Prepare for takeoff. Jesus is coming back. Prepare for takeoff. Get ready for the rapture. Trillions of dollars are being spent on preparing for war. Why? If it's just all smoke and mirrors, if it's probably not going to happen, if it's not likely to happen, why are trillions of dollars being spent on military expenses? Trillions, not millions, not billions. Wrap your mind around trillions. It's a whole nother level. This is more than just a rumor. This is more than just a rumor. This is the end of times. This is the end of times. We are living in the last day. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ and been baptized, and you have not truly turned your life over to Christ, I'm not playing with you. I'm not playing games when I say this. You need to do it now. I'm not holding back one bit. You need to do it now. But I'm not ready. Get ready! But I'm not sure. You need to be sure. Can I have a little more time? I don't know. Can you? Can you afford a little more time? Can you afford to wait for another day? Can you afford to wait to get rid of some things? Can you afford to rearrange some things? The Bible says, get your house in order. Get your house in order. And for everybody and anybody who you're a Christian and filled with the Holy Ghost, listen, you've had to have felt conviction today. You got the Holy Ghost. And if you know that you're not sitting up, you know that the plane's about to take off, but you're slouching. You know the stewardess, the captain, Jesus Christ, he's on the intercom saying, all seats upright, tray tables up, fasten your seat belts and put your devices to the side. If that's you, my brother and my sister, heed the warning, heed the call, heed the love of God. It's love. God is reaching to you with love. And if you're watching us through live stream, I want you to, I don't turn us off. Let the Holy Ghost convict you right now. Let the Holy Ghost come all over you right now so that you too would be prepared for takeoff. Prepared for takeoff. Ready for the rapture. I'm going to invite you to bring your families up to the altar. Even if you know you're going to make it, you don't know if your mom, your brother, your sister, your nephew, your kids, you don't know what's in everybody's heart that's in your family all the time. I'm inviting my family because I don't always know what's in my children's heart. And I want my kids to know that Dad wants to go home together. We want to all wake up in heaven one day, enjoying and celebrating our time with our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on up to the front and make room for everybody to just simply slip your hands in the air.
Across the hottest desert, I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything just to see. Hold you as my king.
Come on, somebody.
Your glory.
Now's the time to get a hold of God.
I will do.
Now's the time to pray over your family and your children and your spouses.
You.
Now's the time to pray for loved ones
to
that are unsaved.
Hold you as my king.
Now's the time to get right. If your heart isn't right, now's the time.
My favor in your sight.